to my mind, we've always had kind of a friendly competition going on in our radio markets between the commercial stations like WJR, which is our flagship station, and then the publicly supported stations. And we have an outstanding public radio station in metropolitan Detroit called WDET. And I ran into something online the other day that I thought you folks, especially those of you from the Detroit area, would get a kick out of. And it's something that's been produced there by one of their senior news editors, and his name is Quinn Kleinfelter. He's in studio with us. Quinn, thanks so much for joining us here.
No problem. Thank you for the invitation.
On the loyal opposition.
friendly competition. That sounds much better. A free pledge mug is coming your way.
Yes, we will not be asking for any pledge money today on the air. A sigh of relief goes out. But I wanted you to come on to talk about something that absolutely fascinated me. But before we get to that, the producer for this segment, I think, is Shelby Jupe. Am I right on that?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and we wanted to give a shout-out to her. She has recently gone on to maternity leave, and so we want to wish her just the best of health to that and a very safe birth that's coming up. That's Shelby Jupe. But what I want you to talk about is about this new feature that you can get online called Curiosity. And it's spelled kind of interesting. We'll get into that in just a minute.
Yeah, well, Shelby is actually going to give birth soon, I guess. But this is actually something she already gave birth to. It's basically her baby. And it's like Curiosity, only with the D at the end, Curiosity. And it's supposed to be anything that really, you know, amazes you or surprises you or you always wondered about in the city of Detroit or the whole metro region. And what we do is have people call in, write in with a question. Why was this such and such this way? And then we, having the time and the assignment from our editors, go out and try to figure out the answer to it. And that can take you to a lot of different places, a lot of research on the internet, talking to a lot of people, having to go through a lot of archive tape and things in libraries, and sometimes you find some pretty interesting answers that people weren't really aware of.
Well, you had one in there. Matter of fact, the one that caught my attention, guys, was about the Michigan left.
The birth of the Michigan left has nothing to do with the Democratic Party.
That's true.
And you found that out. You have a different answer here.
Just like Rush, you're right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Were you involved in researching that particular story? I'm just curious.
No, I wasn't involved. I did all of it. It was all along. Yeah. No, I was. And actually, it takes a lot of work on a lot of them. But on that particular one, it took a lot of research because there was a lot of contradictory information. There was a guy who had written a book a number of years back about where that actually came from and who created it. And he said that it pretty much started in Detroit, the Michigan left. And he thought it started out on Telegraph and that some engineers had decided to move the turnaround a little bit further down and that was where that all stemmed from. And the state would kind of quote that, but you couldn't really verify it with the guy that wrote the book because he had passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I did a little bit more research and I actually came across a guy who had been a Michigan State University professor and had retired over the last couple of years. But in the 60s, he was a young engineer for MDOT, for the Department of Transportation. And his job was to figure out all the turns and all the stoplights and all the Michigan lefts on 8 Mile. And that was his assignment. So anything you want, I know the guy to blame. and that was what he did. He came up with this whole plan. In fact, he was very proud of it to this day. He said, I came up with the perfect solution that if you went, he had a mathematical formula he figured out. He said, if you do 45 miles an hour down 8 Mile, you should hit every single light without a stop and then be able to turn back around.
I have proved that a number of times. I actually did that. I commuted down that a number of times. Have you tried that, Ed?
No, not down 8 Mile, but I do it down Metropolitan Parkway or 16 Mile if you maintain a certain speed limit.
Yep.
And usually I've been paying attention to the other smart people that have been driving it for 10 years. You can make it all the way from 75 all the way down.
If you don't race up to the next stoplight.
Yeah, exactly.
And you wonder if somebody just kind of came up with that out of nowhere, but this guy had this really intricate mathematical formula to figure it out and to do it. And it seems to have worked.
Now, we should say that Michigan left, for those of you who are now are familiar with it, is where in order to make a left turn on some of these very big, well-traveled highways, you actually cross over the road and move to your left side and then make a turnaround.
Almost like a U-turn, but it's usually with like a boulevard to U-turn.
Right, exactly. But, and you come back the other way then to actually make a right turn on.
And then go on the intersection.
And you left off the biggest part, and the biggest part is you make a right before you actually make the left.
That's right. That came out of a mathematical formula.
It did. It came out of that. It came out of them also seeing that there had been a ton of wrecks. You know, I mean, he was talking about it, that people may not remember, but this was back in the mid-60s. It was actually right around the time of the riots that they came up with this. And at that point, he said that people won't remember now, but then you could wait at a turn light for the green arrow. He said 4, 5, 6 cycles, which translated to 8, 9 minutes of just sitting there before you could actually make that turn. And then you had to, you know, it was like Danger Alley. Are you going to really try to go for that right now, or are you going to wait?
Yeah,
and you got to make that, you know, grit your teeth and try to make that turn. And he said there was a ton of accidents, and they saw that over and over. So they were trying to figure out some way to get around that, and literally, and nobody was able to. And then they finally came up with that. Again, it was hard to figure out who actually came up with the concept of, oh, let's do this Michigan left. He set it all up down 8 miles, so it was that. And there's actually one engineer that he believes, it was a guy named Don Sankey, who he said you've never heard of and probably never will, that was supposed to try to end some of the wrecks that was happening at intersections. And the guy came up with an idea of putting a guardrail instead of in between the turns so you could only turn one way. And it kind of forced people to make this U-turn and go back and make the right-hand turn. And so he kind of came up with this idea, and they started calling it the Michigan Left.
And this is all you found with curiosity. Now, Cal, you got something going on?
Have you guys found anything of a folk nature? I mean, you know, this is like, you know, hard, fast, you know, you got a road and stuff like that. What about, you know, like, was there really a Verner's gnome or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, you know, that's the whole thing. It varies all this stuff. They just had one done recently where they put, and some of it is fact-based. Like, one of it, most recent ones, was about Black Bottom, which is the area that got taken out because of the freeway. And so it had a lot of it was very well received and had a lot of archival sound in it, which is one of the things that public radio can do pretty well, because we have the time and the space, and you can kind of let somebody kind of paint a picture in their own mind like a little mini movie.
Yes,
so we found that. But there were other things. One of the very first ones that we did was about the road Losser, and a guy called in and said, you know, why is it called Losser, and is it really supposed to be Losser, or is it Lasher?
Oh, yes, yes.
And we had a woman that worked on that for a while, and she finally tracked down, like, the great-grandson of the guy that actually they named it after. And what they found out was that it really was supposed to be Losser, but when they did the sign, they made a typo.
Oh, no, you're
so
kidding
me. So that's why it's Losser. It's a typo. That's why, and that, and you know, and beautiful thing was she did the, and she did the story all the way to it, and I was jealous because it was really well done, and at the end of it, she goes, "So, Tom, there's your answer. It's a typo."
Oh my,
you know, like that.
Fascinating.
You know, what's really fun is if you try to use Siri, and I don't know if it does the same thing with Cortana, but try Gratiot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because it says Gratiot.
Or Shaner.
Or
Shaner Road.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Or DeQuinder.
Or DeQuinter, there you go. We're talking with Quinn Kleinfelter, who was a senior news editor at WDET, the public radio station in Detroit. And we're talking about Curiosity, which is a feature they have that looks into some of these kind of our unique stories about Southeast Michigan, or about Michigan, period. And like this last one about Losser, that is absolutely fascinating. So it's a typo.
Yeah.
That should have been Lasher. Oh, that is interesting. By the way, if people want to submit a question, how do they get it in?
You would go to WDET.org /curiosity. And that was a very well-timed cough, by the way, to cover up the website as I'm going to it. So again, that was WDET.org/curiosity. And it's just like the word curiosity, but get rid of the T-Y and put a D at the end.
Oh, that is.
And then you can call in, or you can write online and pose your question, and we'll do our best to try to answer it.
Well, we're going to come back in just a minute. Eddie, you probably have a question for him as
well. No, I just enjoy all those driveway moments. I just want to say
That's right.
Wow.
We'll go back and we'll explain what Ed was meeting with that. And talk a little bit more about some of the things that the Curiosity has found out about our Southeast Michigan, Michigan in general. That's all coming up in the Internet Advisor. We'll also be talking with a young man shortly who has developed a piece of software to help us geezers remember our history. walk around with you along with our crew. And we're talking with a senior news editor from our local public radio station, WDET. That's Quinn Kleinfelder. Quinn, thank you so much for joining us.
Foster, thanks for the invitation.
It has been a ball. And by the way, thank you to the folks behind the glass, Shannon Maley and Rich Lozanski, who have been helping us get this program going as well. By the way, somebody might ask you, why in the world would I have a competing radio station on? Well, it's a public radio station, and many of you out there support them, and they have a wonderful wealth of entertainment that is publicly supported, and I think it's great to let you folks know it's around. This happens to be something that is online, that you can go to wdet.org/curiosity, and that's curious, and I, and then the word letter D, rather, and that is going to get you to this fascinating function about unique things about our area. We talked about the Michigan left. It actually came from Michigan. And before we get to you, Cal, it has been, Quinn, am I right, it has now been accepted by a number of other states.
Yeah, that was part of the question that the guy wrote in and asked about. You know, he said that the original question came from somebody that said that he was a California native and that he'd only seen it around Michigan and wondered if it was just a Michigan thing. And he started looking, and actually five other states have adopted it.
Not enough.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Well, but then, and then there were some, I actually called up the head of the traffic safety division in Louisiana, because New Orleans had done it for a while, and they said that it was working really well there, but what they found were that some people were very reluctant to try to begin to do it because they said they didn't want anybody telling them where they had to turn left. It's literally, she said they would fight, and then she said, well, you know, they would have these big, long town hall meetings about it, and then finally they'd get done, and the guy would say something like, well, I never try to make a left there anyways because it's always so busy, so I just go down and make a U-turn. And the woman was saying, well, yeah, that's what we're trying to do here.
Duh.
So, yeah. So it was interesting. So there'd been some, pushback, I guess, on it. But in general, yeah, many, many, many states. Got, or five, at least.
Cal? You know, I'm way too lazy. It takes a lot to type on this keyboard to find out at your website. Tell us the story about Hamtramck and Highland Park and why it's in the middle of the city.
Well, you know, that one, it's a little bit hard to say because of some of the things that have been going on with that. And as you mentioned, sometimes it's hard to type and bring it up. Not to dodge that question, one that struck me even more. I mean, you were talking about nuclear missiles in there. Did you realize that there were nuclear missiles in Detroit?
Oh.
It was a Nike missile base.
I knew there was a Nike missile base here, but I didn't know in the city.
Yeah, and I actually found, I mean, I didn't do that particular story, but I found out about it because we were doing a series on parks in the city. And I went to Rouge Park, and they have, these groups that help, and one of them's called the Friends of Rouge Park. And she says, well, come over here and meet me. We're going to walk past here. This is where the Nike missiles used to be. I go, what? You know, and it was all overgrown, but you could actually see, like, little circles in the bottom of the ground where there would have been silos.
Wow.
And it had all overgrown now, and they just left it fallow, and so they were trying to like make a nature trail through it.
This would have been during the Cold War, 50s?
Yeah, and into 60s,
wow.
I think.
Back when you used to make your own fallout shelter.
Your bomb shelter.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I do like your sense of humor a little bit, too, because I said, you know, there's culture, music, politics, community, business. I hit politics. First one was, does Michigan have venomous snakes? Can't wait to read that one.
Yeah.
I would have thought that had been under lawyers, but you never know.
Hey, I got to ask you about Waterworks Park. That has always fascinated me. First of all, why was it the beautiful architecture there, et cetera? And it's basically a filtration plant for Detroit's water?
Yeah. It had been that way for a while. And, it's still, they have it being a park now. And again, not to dodge that, but whenever you bring up water, there's been such a situation with water throughout the area. I mean, and I've had to do so many on that. I'm not just, you know, is water a right or a privilege with people selling it and the stuff with Flint and everything. So, that as you say, that was the case with that one.
Now, I heard a fascinating thing about Waterworks Park, and maybe you can confirm or deny it from the data that you do have, but underneath the park, there are caverns where the water comes in for filtration. Well, all those caverns are tiled with that beautiful mosaic tile and everything all underneath that park for the water to come through.
I believe that's the case.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of things around Detroit that just because of the construction they're doing now for the M1 rail and things that I found that regard water that I would have never known before. Some of the construction people I talked to said, again, this is a little bit different, but they said that one of the problems they've had and why Woodward has been so torn up for so long is that some of the pipes they found that they were using were put back in, I'm not sure, late 1800s, and they're wooden pipes.
No.
Yeah, and that's actually what, yeah.
Wow.
It would hollow
at least they're not lead like Flint.
Yeah, but you don't know what's got in it at this point. It could have, you know, woodworms from way back when.
Oh, my Lord.
And the other thing, too, is that they tore up one side of the road, and they said, we're going to do one side and then stop, and then we'll go and do the other side. And then all of a sudden, you see them doing both, and you say, what's going on? Well, the problem, they said, is back in the day, to save money, when they were putting these pipes together, rather than just, you know, stop, okay, we're going to put in a new section of pipe, we're going to fuse it, they said, well, we'll have to figure out what that problem is, and it'll be a big hassle. So instead, they just zigged across the road and hooked it up there to avoid the whole problem. So these guys are going through trying to find these pipes, and all of a sudden, they'll think we've got everything done. They look over, and it zigzagged over to the other side of the road. So then they got to go tear that side up. So, you know, it's added like almost another year onto the construction.
That's
just because they got to go all across. Yeah.
Folks, you can find out about these and many other fascinating things about Detroit and Michigan if you go to WDET.org/curiosity. Quinn Kleinfelder, thank you so much for being with us.
I appreciate it. It's nice to see how the other half lives.
It's been a ball. Quinn Kleinfelder is a senior news editor at WDET.